are back.
You're listening to You Would Think, the Philly Sports Podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Collington. Joining me, as always, it's Mike Gilletto.
What's up, buddy?
What's up? I decided to run that out a little bit. Catch you off guard. And now, we have a lot to talk about today, and before we get into that, I'm here to tell you, you can find the show on Facebook, Instagram, Podbean, iTunes, Google Podcasts, LastWordOnSports.com, Spotify, YouTube, and on Twitter, at YWTPodcast. I'm also there at K Collington, and Mike is at Mike_Gilletto.
Did you do anything fun this week?
Did I do anything fun this week? I'm not sure.
Okay, well,
I wasn't expecting that question. My high school buddy, you know, I haven't seen for a long time, was in from Vegas, so I hung out with him Friday night.
Oh, nice. There you go.
Watched some hashtag Flyers After Dark.
There you go.
Saw two wins, which we'll get into a little bit later into the show. Why? What did you do? Because clearly there's something you want to talk about.
A little bit. You know, it's a little topical. We've talked about it on the show before. Last night, I was flipping through the chat, you know, through the cable and seeing, you know, what was on
TV. Wait, let me guess. We did not talk about this before the show.
No, I didn't.
Mystery Alaska.
No.
Okay, I'm stuck. Was it Remember the Titans?
It was Remember the Titans.
Did you remember how good it was when you watched it?
It was better than I remember it being.
Hey, Dom, you hear that? You watched Remember the Titans.
If I redid my list, it might be 4-6. Right around that.
That's, you know, probably still low.
It's because there's still times where it was corny, but I just wanted to throw that little
admitting live on the air that you made a mistake.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, it's very good. I mean, listen, a movie is only so good. It can only be so good when the best part is a 8-year-old Hayden Panettiere. She was the best part of the movie.
She was really good in that movie. She was phenomenal in that movie, but she was not the best part. Let's be honest. She was the comedic relief. Doesn't mean she was the best part.
But yeah, I just wanted to throw that in there.
Yeah. So
watched that last night.
Also, I sent you a text last night, and I don't know if you followed up on it. The Phantoms were on TV.
Yeah, I watched 2 minutes of overtime, and
I turned the game on at a really weird spot. So last night's Phantoms game, again, we're recording Sunday morning, so we're talking about Saturday night against the Binghamton Devils. It was actually on local TV. The game was scoreless going into the third period. I turned it on 3.5 minutes into the third period. Soon as I turned it on, Binghamton scored. Literally, the second I turned it on. So I'm like, oh, great, here we go. And then a couple minutes later, Binghamton cleared the puck in, like teams do when they get the red line and clear it in and go for a change.
Right.
And it slipped through Alex Lyon. 2-0 Binghamton. 10 minutes left in the game. And that's when I texted you and, you know, told you it was on TV or whatever. The Phantoms coach, Scott Gordon, I think his name is.
Yep.
He made an interesting call. Binghamton took a penalty with 6 minutes left in the game. Okay? And you're down by 2.
Yeah.
Scott Gordon pulled his goalie.
Okay.
Is that too much time? What do you think what do you think about the aggressive goalie pull?
I mean, you're down or you're up a man, so I mean, I guess I get it in that sense, but it's ballsy. I'll give them that.
The other team also has free reign to just dump it down the ice.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's a little bit of a risky spot.
It might be a little early. I mean, if you're up or if you're down 3-0, I get it. But.
Right. Now it turned out it worked out because the Phantoms scored on that power play while they had the man advantage, and then they. So, you know, Lyon goes back in the net. They pull Lyon again with about 1.5 to 2 minutes, kind of the more quote-unquote normal goalie pull time. And the Phantom scored with 4.5 seconds left.
Right.
4.5 seconds left. I think it was Vecchione. I'm not sure. So then, obviously, that worked out. Phantoms tied the game with less than 10 seconds left. It was astounding.
Yep.
And then they ended up winning the game in overtime.
Okay.
That was definitely Mike Vecchione.
Well, there you go.
That goalie pull with 6 minutes left worked out.
It worked out. But
I was more asking because it's a bit of a controversial subject.
I think it is a little early, only down by 2. But if it works out, I mean.
Yeah, I don't think he does it if you don't have a power play. I don't think he does it at 5-on-5. But the fact that you get a power play, the other team is not likely to be rushing the puck very much. It's probably a pretty safe call.
Yeah.
And, you know, down by 2, and apparently the Phantoms hadn't won in 3 or 4 games. I don't exactly know. I don't really follow the Phantoms super closely.
Does anybody?
Yeah, there are people that do. Okay. But
no, I was too busy watching the LSU Alabama game, which I thought was going to be a great game, and turned out Alabama's just on a whole other level.
Yeah,
than everybody in the world. 29-0, I think they won.
Yeah. So anyway, yeah, it was a good little comeback win from the Phantoms, and then we kind of saw something similar in the reverse when the Flyers played.
Yeah,
game wrapped up about a half hour before the Flyers game started. And the Flyers started basically where the Phantoms left off. Nolan Patrick scores 37 seconds into the game. That was a nice play.
Yeah, no, it was a really nice play.
We're just going to get into last night's game because we're here now.
You're right. Yeah.
They scored 37 seconds into the game. Right. It was a beautiful little passing play.
Yeah.
From what I hear, I'd never played hockey. I know you have. From what I hear, that's exactly how you're supposed to play the 3-on-2.
Yeah.
With a couple quick passes, get a guy open.
Yeah, you just got to get the guy move, get the goalie moving side to side and try to open up a lane. Yeah.
And they absolutely did. They did a great job passing it back and forth. And Lindblom found Patrick kind of streaking down the slot. And Patrick finished it, man. Yeah. Boy, did he finish it. He's playing really well.
He's playing well, yeah.
Like, I don't know what you think about his last three or four games, but I think he's...
He's been playing fine.
He might be the Flyers' best forward over the last three or four games.
He's been playing fine.
Him and Lindblom are playing really, really well together.
Yeah. He's still not at the caliber of a second overall pick, at least not yet. Okay. Like, I know a lot of people are saying, why didn't they take Elias Pettersson, in that same draft? But, I mean, Nolan was the slam dunk at that point.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. The second, I think I've told this story on the show before, but I actually went to a bar for a draft watch party, and the second whoever announced New Jersey's pick announced that they were taking the guy from Sweden or from Switzerland, the place erupted because they knew we were getting Nolan Patrick. They didn't even wait for him to finish saying Nico Hischier's name, and the bar erupted because a majority of the people there, it seemed, wanted Nolan Patrick.
I wanted Nico for what it's worth, but
yeah, I understand. I don't think
you lost getting.
No, I think it's close.
Nolan. Yeah, I think it's real close.
I think it's close. It's okay. Let's go back a year prior. Matthews or Laine? If you have the number one overall pick,
Matthews.
Really? Yeah. Okay. Okay. Matthews. And then obviously McDavid and Eichel. It's clearly McDavid because Eichel hasn't done anything.
I don't want to say he's not done anything.
He's in Buffalo, and it's tough. He hasn't developed really at all.
I mean, Buffalo's playing better than Edmonton.
Buffalo's playing, yeah. But Jack Eichel's not Connor McDavid.
No, he's not Connor McDavid. I think
Laine and Matthews is a much closer comparison.
Yeah, I think that's probably fair.
I think Austin Matthews is better than Patrick Laine. I'm going to start by saying that. But I think there's a conversation there. I think it's closer. It's definitely closer than McDavid Eichel.
Right.
It's probably about as close as Patrick Hischier. It's a similar comparison. There's definitely an argument to take Laine A over him.
I don't know. I tend to lean towards the center.
Yeah, but I also think it was the right decision.
And I think
it was the right decision for Winnipeg to get Laine A. Like, if Winnipeg had gotten...
They don't have a choice.
Well, I'm saying...
Who else were they going to take in that draft?
It doesn't matter.
Like, but if Winnipeg had the first overall pick, Winnipeg's taking Austin Matthews.
I don't know.
Yes, they do.
You think?
Yeah.
Okay. I think they might consider Laine.
I don't know.
They have the center depth, man.
Yeah, you don't. NHL is.
I know
draft
you draft
for
the future.
Yeah,
I know.
Yeah, you draft for. You don't draft for position in the NHL.
Regardless,
you just don't.
Regardless, the Flyers got Nolan Patrick, and he's starting to look like the number two overall pick.
He's starting to. I mean, there's some flashes there.
Right, and it's tough for him because
I mean he's only 75 games into his NHL career. Right. I mean,
well, and think about it. McDavid walked right into a bad Edmonton team.
Right.
He was going to be the number one player there, period. Right? Eichel stepped into a really bad Buffalo team. Obviously, he was going to be their best player. Next year, you have Matthews, who, without ever explicitly saying we're building for a guy like Austin Matthews, the Toronto Maple Leafs were built for a guy like Austin Matthews.
Yeah, they were.
Right? They had Nylander and Marner on the wings. They had a couple good players. They had your Kadrys and your Bozaks and your good to find players, Morgan Riley. They needed a number one center. So they got Austin Matthews.
Right.
Laine. Winnipeg has a couple really good centers, a really good decor. They needed a good scoring winger. They got Patrick Laine. That worked out really well. Nico Hischier and Nolan Patrick, it's a little different. New Jersey wasn't atrocious when they got the number one overall pick.
They weren't atrocious.
They weren't good.
No.
But, you know, they still had good players.
They still had Taylor Hall.
Right. So, so Nico doesn't have to be the best player in New Jersey. And it's the same for Nolan. Nolan does not have to be the Flyers' best player.
Right.
He doesn't even have to be the Flyers' best center. He might not even be the best center in the Flyers' top six.
What was that?
I don't think Nolan Patrick is the best center in the Flyers' top six. I don't think he's second best center. I think he's the third best center.
I don't know.
Couturier and Giroux.
Couturier is not having the start we all expected him to have.
I didn't expect it.
No, well, neither did I, but the majority of the fan base expected him to have.
Right, well, the majority of the fan base expects a lot of things. We'll talk about that in a little bit.
Yeah.
I think Sean Couturier, if this is his basement, if this is where his low point is going to be for the rest of his career, we're fine. He's doing all right.
Yeah.
He's not lighting it up like he did last year.
Right.
And I believe last year he got a lot of his points in October, November. I think he can warm up a little bit. He's playing well. It's just a matter of, really, honestly, that first line isn't doing a ton.
No, they're really not.
The Patrick, Voracek, Lindblom line is kind of your de facto first line.
Yeah, to a degree.
And I don't know if that's team's game planning for Giroux and Couturier. And
they're just not playing particularly well.
Or if they're not playing well or whatever it is. But your best line right now is Patrick, Lindblom, Voracek.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
So they're kind of your de facto first line at this point. But I will give credit to the current top unit. They're good defensively. They're not hurting you being on the ice, even though they're not scoring. Right? There are some lines in the league where if they're not scoring, they're actively hurting you.
Right.
Right. Like, think of the Ben Sagan line in Dallas. It's a good offensive line, but if they ever slump, they're not that great defensively. So you can't count on them to play the huge important minutes.
Right. But they don't really usually ever have to play defensive minutes because they're in the offensive zone most of the time.
Because they don't ever slump. No, right. I understand that. Yeah. But I'm saying if they ever do, you're in trouble.
Right.
Whereas if Giroux, Couturier, and whoever's on their wing, Konechny or whatever, if they get pinned in their defensive zone, they're good. They're fine.
Yeah. Yeah, right? They're fine. I mean, you have...
And if they're not going to score... at least be good defensively.
Right, yeah. And Couturier has been labeled, you know, this elite shutdown defensive center. So you expect that of him.
Exactly.
So now we just have to wait and see if last year's offensive production was just a flash in the pan.
Right. And if he is an offensive threat, like we all think he is, 60, 70 points minimum, right, then you would think that at some point it'll turn on. Right, they'll start getting the bounces. They'll start getting the space and generate the offense.
Right, again, unless that was a flash in the pan, and that's just not who he is.
Well, and also, if that second line does become your main offensive threat, then, you know, Boston throws the Bergeron line out against Patrick, Lindblom, and Voracek, and now they don't have anybody to defend Giroux, Couturier, and Konechny.
Right.
Right, so that second line being good is in the long run good for the first line.
Yeah, because
it'll open things up for them if teams start game planning for the second line.
Right.
So either way, big picture here: the Flyers got 5 out of 6 points so far in 3 games in California.
Yeah, I think
they beat L.A. Then they beat Anaheim, and then Saturday night.
Well,
they beat both of those teams.
Yeah.
And then Saturday night, you got the OTL in San Jose.
Yeah, I think opponent matters. The Anaheim game, Anaheim won or lost 6 in a row after that game. They were going into the game losing 5 in a row.
I know.
The Kings are middling at best.
The Kings are just bad this year.
They're just bad.
I think they're like 3-8.
Yeah, and Quick can't stay healthy. So they're beat up and bad. And Dustin Brown, I think, still out.
Yeah, and it was Jack Campbell in net for the LA Kings.
Yeah. So I think opponent matters. And then...
But then you played in San Jose.
Yeah, then you play San Jose, and they didn't look great. Like, I think they got outshot at 1.13-3 or something like that.
But at the same time, you were leading that game fairly late in the game. And And you also got a point out of them.
Sure, but this also goes to the fact of where it's been a recurring theme with the Flyers. They can't play with the lead, and they give these late leads up.
Okay.
I mean, what, they scored 4 minutes left?
It was a one-goal lead.
It doesn't matter. You still got to shut down the game.
Listen, I agree with that.
When it happens all the time, then there has to be like a question about it.
I agree with that, and you're kind of hinting at coaching.
Yeah, a little bit.
And I do actually...
Whether it's a mentality issue with the players or the coaches, right. Whatever it is, it has to be fixed because you're not going to win many games. Like, this team just doesn't win the close games because they always give up the lead. They just always do.
And I do want to talk about the coaching, okay? We've talked a lot on this show about Dave Hakstol and his job status. And one thing I asked you, I think I asked you off the air. I said, hey, listen, if he makes some changes and they work... You have to give him credit for him, right? Whether you like him or not, you can still think he deserves to be fired. But you gotta give credit where credit's due.
Sure.
And if he makes a good change, like last year, putting Claude Giroux on the wing, it was a great, great change. Yeah, it revitalized Claude Giroux's career in a lot of ways.
Speaking of that, I also wouldn't be opposed to them moving him back to center.
I don't disagree with that.
With how bad Couturier is, not bad, but how mediocre Couturier has looked.
It would depend on what that means for the lineup. If that means that, Laterra is the guy who's out, then I'm fine with it.
Right.
If it means Lawton's out, I'm a little less fine with it.
Yeah, I think you would. Giroux, first line center. Okay. Patrick, 2C.
Couturier 3C.
Lawton, 4C. And then. Probably.
Yeah, you're not going to put Giroux on the... Right. You're not going to put Couturier on the 4C.
No, unless you put a guy like Laterra, because they do like Laterra. And he's been fine. Yeah. I don't think he's been awful, Laterra.
He might be a little better if he's on the wing and doesn't have quite as many defensive responsibilities.
Or I would even put Laterra on the fourth line center and then put Lawton on the wing.
On the wing.
Yeah.
Regardless, it's kind of a mediocre move at that point because your fourth line doesn't see a ton of ice time.
Yeah, but I like the idea of having all that center depth, though.
Yeah, but then... Who slides up? What wing slides up? Do you wait till James Van Riemsdyk's back?
Yeah, maybe it's movie wait when he comes back.
Right, and then just put him on the first line with, at that point, Giroux,
JVR, Konechny,
and then
Patrick Lindblom,
I want to keep that
JVR.
Second line together.
Yeah, Patrick Lindblom, JVR.
Honestly, I don't want to... No. Voracek. You said JVR.
Yeah, sorry, Voracek.
Patrick Lindblom.
Bad. Yeah.
So, first line, what you're saying is first line, JVR... Giroux, Konechny. Second line stays the same with Lindblom, Patrick, Voracek.
Then and third then, line, Couturier, Simmons, and probably
whoever's
Wheel.
There.
Probably Wheel.
If Wheel can stay out of the box,
that is an issue.
He's had a rough season.
Yeah.
In terms of taking minors.
Yeah. In the fourth line, any combination of
Lindblom, Wheel, or
Lawton, Weiss, Raffel,
Obey, Kubel, Goldborn, yeah. Raffel.
Any of the combination, whatever.
Just the rotating cast of characters.
Yeah.
Speaking
of Obey Kubel,
I think he's looked solid. Yeah. He's looked fine.
Like, he looks like he wants to stay, obviously.
I mean, I thought they sent him down.
I don't think so.
Yeah. Yeah, they did. No. I'm sorry. They sent, who did they send down? They sent somebody down.
I don't know if they sent, I didn't see any of them send anybody down. What I did see is, and here's a shocker, Michael Neuvirth got sent back to...
They sent Vorobiev down. I'm sorry.
Well, that happened.
Yeah. But Nick Obey-Kubel's looked really good.
Yeah. But Neuvirth went back to Philadelphia to get checked by the doctors. What else is new?
Whoa. Shocker.
Yeah. So
It's frustrating. Yep. He's a good goalie when he's healthy.
Yeah.
He's good. He's not great.
He's serviceable.
He is league average goaltending.
Yeah.
He is probably slightly above league average goaltending.
I'd give you that.
But now we know why Calvin Pickard didn't get waived.
Right.
After the 10 games.
Yep.
Or after the 30 days. We see now why Calvin Pickard didn't get waived. And at this point, you can't.
No.
Because
you can't
trust Michael Neuvirth to stay healthy. And this is Michael Neuvirth's last year, contract-wise.
Yeah.
Who wants to sign him?
Somebody will sign him to a cheap deal.
Steve Mason
for a
doesn't have a job.
Yeah, it's true.
Steve Mason's a better goalie than Michael Neuvirth when he's healthy.
Is he, though?
It's probably about the same. But you can also count on Steve Mason not getting hurt every 2 weeks.
Right.
He's a little injury prone, sure. But if a team signs him, they're only signing him to be a backup anyway.
Yeah.
Nobody is signing Michael Neuvirth to be a starting goaltender.
No, nobody.
You just
nobody
can't.
Would. No, somebody would either signed to a cheap deal to be a backup or a depth goalie or something like
and
that.
And Michael Neuwirth, he doesn't even get hurt in games. He gets hurt in practices.
It's weird.
Skates,
it's
in warm-ups.
Yeah, it's an interesting phenomenon with Michael Neuwirth.
At some point, this is no disrespect towards Michael Neuwirth, but at some point, dude, do you just think about retiring? Like, you have to. You can't keep doing this to yourself.
I don't know. Like,
and I know he's frustrated by it. He doesn't love the idea of, oh, I'm getting paid and I get hurt all the time, so, like, I don't even have to do anything.
Right.
No, he hates it. Yeah. I remember the story from a couple weeks ago when he got hurt and he slammed his stick and he was, you know, having a heated conversation with the trainer. And he's frustrated. He is frustrated that he's hurt all the time.
And he should be.
Right. But at some point, do you just think about shutting him down?
I don't know.
Like, legitimately put him on LTIR, shut him down, and say, hey, listen, this gives you your best chance, because he can get himself to 100%.
Yeah, but his 100% isn't 100%.
Right. Well, maybe he rushes himself back because he's now at the thing
right.
where he's frustrated. So maybe he tries to come back at 90% and tweak something. If you shut him down, I'm talking 3 or 4 months, actually literally shut him down for the season, maybe he can get back to 100% and go be a backup somewhere. Not here. Don't resign him. Not here.
Yeah.
Somewhere.
Right.
And like, I like Michael Neuwirth, but just give up, man.
Yeah, it's rough.
Just either sit for
the
season.
What was his injury? Did they say? Or no?
No. It's always undisclosed.
Yeah.
Or vague, generic lower body,
right?
Upper body. Like, hockey is the least transparent sport when it comes to injuries.
It wouldn't surprise me if they start to do it differently with this whole new betting partnership.
You think so?
If they start to announce injuries more specifically.
Oh, because we did get that news this week, by the way. The NHL is now officially partners with MGM.
Right, we didn't talk about that last week, did
we?
No,
we didn't, because it got announced on Monday.
Did it? Okay, there you go.
So, basically, I don't know the exact terms of the agreement because they all used generic buzzword type stuff. Partnership and sports betting and exclusive. It's actually not an exclusive deal. But it's basically MGM is going to get access to information that no other sports book has.
It's basically a licensing deal.
Basically.
Essentially is what it is. They can use all the logos now and things like that.
They can advertise
MGM.
It.
Yeah, so.
So, I mean, yeah, whatever. It's revenue for the company. And the NHL is the first major sport to kind of steer into the legalized sports gambling market.
And the New Jersey Devils became the first team to to have a sponsorship. And I forget what company it was.
I missed that news.
I forget what company it was. But, they're I think what I heard is they're going to have like a kiosk set up in the arena, and you could bet you could bet there during the game, live bets and all that, and around the league and things like that.
That's going to come down to gambling, right? New Jersey can do it.
Right. Yeah.
Because gambling in some form is legal in New Jersey, right? That's why Atlantic City exists.
Right.
That's why people are talking about casinos in North Jersey. That's cool.
Yeah.
I mean, if it works out for them, it'll make the league a pile of money, right?
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
If the league says, hey, we get 1% of your profits, then the league is going to get a pile of money.
Yeah.
But it's nice that now the league is acknowledging, you know, 100-1 odds to win the Stanley Cup of thing.
Yeah, well, they've done that for a while.
Yeah, like, they haven't really acknowledged it. Nah. They've always kind of played.
There have always been odds set by Vegas.
I understand, but it's nice that the league can now acknowledge it.
Right.
Because they're acknowledging sports betting. They're steering in. The term I heard was, quote, they're going all in on sports betting.
Well, they realize how much money is involved now.
Right.
And how big it is across the world, not even just the country, like the world.
All right, looping this back to the Flyers.
Yeah, we went down that.
We went off
thing.
Track.
Yeah,
5 out of 6 points. They came 4, 5, 6 minutes away from the first ever sweep of California teams. The first ever road sweep of California teams in Flyers history.
Yeah, which is weird, by the way.
And that they've never done that.
Yeah,
I know. But if you think about how long those teams have been there. Anaheim's only been there since the mid-90s.
Yeah.
So it's only been a 20-year window, right?
Right.
And then sometimes you don't play all three in a row. Sometimes, you know, there's different things. But this was close to being the first time the Flyers ever went to California, beat three teams in California, and came out. Anyway, they play Arizona in Arizona tomorrow night.
The red hot Arizona Coyotes.
They are red hot.
Five in a row.
Also, it's starting to get a little more bearable in terms of start time. It's a 9 o'clock start time.
Yep.
Instead of the 10:30s that we had all last week. That was brutal, man. Did you make it through any of those games?
No, I was pissed. So I tried to stay up for the 10:30 game. That was the Kings game, right? The 10:30 game.
10 o'clock. Tuesday was 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
Thursday was 10:30. Saturday was 10:30. Yeah,
and so it was the Kings game. So I was trying to stay up. I got to puck drop. Apparently, I fell asleep because then I woke up after the first during the first intermission.
Yeah.
I was just like, all right, let me try to watch some more. I did it again. Fell asleep. Woke up in the second intermission.
The key question is, did you get up when you woke up? Or did you stay on the couch?
I stayed on the couch.
That was your mistake. Yeah. You got to get up and get the blood flowing a little bit. You don't have to do anything crazy, you got to get up and tell your body, hey, we're trying to stay up a little bit
well,
here.
Well, you know, I had work the next morning, so I really wasn't like trying actively to stay up. Right. I wasn't going to drink a cup of coffee.
I made it through Tuesday night's game. Thursday night's game, I fell asleep with 3 or 4 minutes left in the second period, so I didn't see the third. And then Saturday night, about the same time, I fell asleep. Yeah. I think at the end of the second, I went to bed.
Right. And without mediocre this team's been, it wasn't really a concerted effort to stay up.
On Saturday night, when I went to bed, they had the lead. So that's fine by me.
Yeah, there you go. And then they gave up that lead.
But no, I was talking about earlier about the coach and how you got to give him credit if he's made changes. People have talked a lot about the system that he does and how it doesn't really work and it's too passive. And it's over the last couple weeks, specifically the last 5 or 6 games, the Flyers.
I don't think it's been that long. I think it started the Anaheim game, I think.
Maybe it has, right. The Flyers have switched up their system a little bit.
It seems that way.
They're focusing a little bit more on getting the puck behind the net, getting somebody open in the slot for a nice little dirty, you know, gritty, no pun intended, chance right in front of the net.
Yeah, no, it seems like they're starting to...
Especially Lindblom and Patrick.
Yeah, no, it seems like they're starting to get some quality chances instead of everything being to the perimeter, everything being outside.
Right. No, and I'm not sitting here saying that everything is fixed and that Hextall, you know, is the greatest coach of all time. I'm not saying that. But I think that the fan base should acknowledge that he's making changes that appear to be working on some level.
I think it's too small of a sample size to say he made changes because, again, they played...
He's making changes.
No, well, hold on. They played Anaheim in L.A.
Right.
So I don't know if that's him making changes to the game plan or if the players just say, hey, this guy isn't very good. I can beat him this way.
Right. Well, at that point...
I just don't know if it's...
At that point, you have to trust your players to say, hey, we tried this behind the net slot thing and it worked. Let's keep doing it.
But I just don't know if it's a product of... a systematic change, or the product of the team just being bad that they played.
Okay, but they did it to some success with San Jose.
Not
too.
A ton. They got outplayed the majority of that game.
But I'm saying they worked that system
a little bit. Yeah, a little bit
against San Jose. It resulted
a tiny
in the
bit. And San Jose is not even really a defensive team.
It resulted. What? Okay,
they're not. Burns and Carlson are two forwards.
They also have Mark Edward Vlasic,
who is fine. He's a good defenseman.
He's
but
probably top 15 in the league.
I disagree with that, but it's just Burns and Carlson are forwards. Let's just call that what it is.
That's
but,
fair.
And then Vlasic is fine, but after that, who do they have?
I don't know if you heard it on the broadcast. Erik Karlsson doesn't have a goal.
Yeah, he's been bad. Like, brutally bad.
Yeah.
He's turning the puck over a lot. I think he's only got 1 or 2 points.
I wonder if he's nervous.
I don't know what it is.
Like, you can't think he's nervous at this point.
No, I don't know if it's nerves.
He's been there for 10-plus games.
I don't know if it's nerves because he's playing in San Jose where nobody cares about you.
He's
playing in Ottawa,
Is it the fact that he's learning a new system and that his teammates are learning how to play with a guy who doesn't necessarily play a defensive game?
No, I think... And I don't know if this is it, but I think he's used to being the guy in Ottawa.
And he's
now
not
he's
the
kind
guy?
Of the second fiddle to Brett Burns.
Right. Just on the defense. And then offensively, there's Joe Thornton. There's, You know, they have
like everything ran around him in
right.
Iowa.
And in San Jose, that leadership group has been together for a very long time.
Yeah.
Other than Patrick Marleau, who's currently in Toronto, you know, this is the same group that's been together since 10 or 11.
Right.
Some of them even longer than that.
Yeah.
I don't know when Brett Burns came over, but that was kind of the final piece. And it's Thornton and Burns and Vlasic and, you know, like that whole thing. And they've been together for a long time.
Yeah, they have.
And it might be tough for Erik Karlsson to step in to the locker room, really. Because I don't know how much of a leader he was in Ottawa. I know he was their captain, but I don't know how much of a leader he was because I'm not in the locker room.
Right.
But
that could have been that great of a leader with the whole him and Hoffman thing. But.
Well, that I think that's Hoffman more than anything.
Yeah, you're probably right there.
But either way, it's got to be tough for him to come into it.
Brent Burns got to San Jose in 2011.
Okay, right. So that's kind of when that team got good, got really good.
Yeah, for sure.
So that core has been together for 7 years. And Erik Karlsson steps in, and I don't know, maybe he tried to come in and be the man. Maybe he came in quietly with his head down. Whatever he's doing, it's not working.
Okay, he's got 7 points. But he's a minus -9, which is the worst on their team. I think the next closest guy has like minus -3.
Right, because they're a good team.
They
got a lot of pluses in that game against the
Flyers. But he's got no goals, 7 assists in 14 games. Yeah. Brent Burns, 3 goals, 13 assists, 16 points in 14 games.
Jeez, he's good.
Yeah, so I think it might have something to do with him being used to being the guy, and he's just not the guy anymore.
Right, I wonder how much of it is physical in terms of learning a new system, and how much of it is mental in terms of learning a new dynamic,
right.
Like a new team dynamic. Regardless, you know, we're done with the Sharks for this year, so unless we meet them in the Stanley Cup Finals, we won't play them again.
I will bet any amount of money that the finals is not the San Jose Sharks and the Philadelphia Flyers.
I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just saying unless that were to happen,
right.
We're done with them. We're done with Vegas.
Yep.
We finish Arizona this week because the Flyers play Arizona Monday night in Arizona and then come home and play them at home on Thursday in Philly.
Right.
So we'll be done with Arizona after this week. We're starting to slowly tick off, you know, Western Conference teams that we're done with for the year already.
Right.
So unless we meet, maybe we'll meet the Arizona Coyotes in the Stanley Cup finals. How about that?
Mike, I'll give you $1 million that I don't have.
Right. No, I don't necessarily think that's going to happen either. But regardless, what do you think the Flyers are going to do this week? Like I said, they got that game against Arizona on Monday night in Arizona. And then they come home and play Arizona on Thursday. And that's actually the start of a 5-game homestand.
Is it?
Yeah. So, hold on. Okay. You have Arizona, Chicago, Florida, New Jersey, Tampa.
Okay.
4 of those games are winnable. You can win 4 of those games, those home games.
Who'd you say?
Okay. Hold on. Bypassing Arizona tomorrow night.
Okay.
Okay. Your next 5 after that. Arizona,
mm-hmm.
Chicago,
yep.
Florida, the New Jersey Devils, and the Tampa Bay Lightning.
Okay.
You can win 5 of those games.
I mean, it's a big if. Like,
it's a big if.
This team still isn't great, so it's hard for me to feel confident game in, game out.
I mean, Arizona's been hot, but are the Flyers a better team than the Arizona Coyotes? Probably.
I think it's close.
They should at least split with them over these next 2 games.
They should split. I think it's close.
Okay.
Like, just talent-wise.
Are they a better team than Chicago?
Again, I think it's close.
I think the Flyers have more depth than Chicago.
I don't know about that. I mean, Taves is...
That's not depth.
I understand it's not depth.
Kane is also not depth.
Level. No,
Duncan Keith is also not depth.
No, I understand. But the reason they've taken a step back the last couple of years is because their top guys haven't been their top guys.
Right.
So far this season...
kind of back.
Yeah. So far this season, their top guys are being their top guys. And DeBrincat's having a hell of a year.
Let's look for elite shutdown defensive center Sean Couturier. Shut down Jonathan Taves.
We'll see.
Maybe. I don't know where he's at in terms of his timetable. Maybe that's a game JVR is ready for. He should be getting close, right? It's been 4 or 5 weeks. So this is kind of the early end of that timetable that we got from him. Maybe And this is not insider information. This is pure speculation. Maybe he's back for Saturday.
Yeah. Maybe. It's possible.
Okay. So Flyers in Chicago, about a coin toss, right?
Yeah. That's fair.
Are you willing to give me that?
Yeah.
Florida.
I don't know. Florida's weird because I think their talent's much better than how they've been playing.
I agree.
So I think that's a coin toss. Or the
coin toss.
Coin toss.
A coin toss?
Coin toss. Coin, yeah.
How about the New Jersey Devils?
When's that? Yeah, that's next Thursday. See, that's next too far Thursday. For me to care.
Right. Now, and at that point, maybe JVR, right? Yeah. Now we're another week and a half from where we currently sit recording.
Again, I think it's a coin flip.
Right. And then at the end of the homestand, you play Tampa, and that's probably a loss.
Because Tampa's outrageous.
Tampa's absurd.
Yeah.
Tampa's on cheat code mode, right? Tampa's, how do you sign Steven Stamkos to that contract?
They're just a lot better.
How do you sign Victor Hedman to that contract?
They're just better.
How do you sign Andre Vasilevsky to that contract? They're on cheat code mode, man. They typed in some cheat codes. Yeah, it's unreal.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think they're on par with a lot of those teams that they're going to play in the next week or so.
Right. And that's why I didn't say they're slam dunk wins. I said they're winnable.
Sure.
So I think
it's the NHL. I mean, right. It's a professional sport, so every game's winnable. The next six, win every game.
The next six games, the Arizona game tomorrow night, and then the 5-game homestand. If the Flyers go 4-2 or better, I think your season's on track.
Yeah, it's too early.
People are though. There are people who, you know, correctly or incorrectly, I'm not really judging, have already written this season off. Spent all last week saying lose for Hughes.
I'm still there. Lose right? for Hughes.
Remember last year when you said the Flyers weren't going to make the playoffs and then they did?
The reason why it's hard for people to get behind this team is because if they make the playoffs, everybody knows this team's not winning the cup. They're just not. They're not good enough.
Maybe.
No,
yeah.
No. Listen, no, they're not.
I'm not willing they're to not. Shut it down yet.
They're not good enough.
Listen, I'm not willing to shut it down yet because you might have a trade.
No.
You never know.
No, they're not. They're not good enough.
I don't know, man.
They're not good enough in net. They're not good enough up front. They're not good enough in the back end. They're not good enough at coaching. Every aspect of the team, you're not good enough.
Would you have a conversation with Columbus about Panarin or Bobrovsky or both?
I mean, you could always have a conversation.
Okay, because Panarin has made it very clear that he's not resigning
there.
Neither
of them will.
Bobrovsky has been a little less, you know, definitive, but it's kind of clear that
Bob's
he doesn't want to.
Bob's been bad this year. He might lose that job to Korpisalo.
Is he better than Brian Elliott?
I don't know. At this point, I don't know.
Stop it.
I don't know.
Stop it.
He's been bad.
He's better than Brian Elliott.
Is he, though?
Yes.
He's been bad.
Okay. Team's not great in front of him. Seth Jones.
Neither is this team.
Seth Jones has been hurt all year.
Fine. I think Columbus's defense might be on par, maybe even a little better than the Flyers.
I think when Seth Jones is healthy, you're probably right.
Yeah.
Without Seth Jones, probably not.
He's been healthy.
I thought he missed the first.
He missed
three,
the first
four,
couple
five
weeks.
Weeks.
He missed the first couple weeks, two or three.
Right.
But he's back now, and Bob still isn't playing well. I mean, Korpisalo is eating time there.
We'll say maybe Columbus is trying to tank his value to get him to re-sign cheaper. I don't know.
I doubt that.
Anyway. We do want to talk a little Phillies before we got to get out of here, but first, we bring you the return of 7 or 6 seconds, where we talk about the Philadelphia 76ers in 7 or 6 seconds. Go ahead, Mike.
The Sixers went 3-1 last week, beating the Hawks, Clippers, and the Pistons, and losing to the Raptors.
Great. So, MLB free agency kicked off.
It did. Nothing really happened yet.
Right, and unlike the NHL, right, the NHL, July 1st is a big day. Right, we had John Tavares announce. We had James Van Riemsdyk announced. Basically, all the big fish come off the market within 24 hours. Yeah. And if not the first 24 hours, within the first 3 days, for sure.
Yeah.
The MLB seems to be a little different, at least this year.
Yeah,
a lot
weird.
Of big free agents.
Yeah.
Kershaw renegotiated with LA to stay there.
3 years, $93 million.
That's a lot of money.
It's probably about right for Kershaw.
He might be taking a little bit of a hometown, but, you know, he deserves it. He can do whatever he wants, honestly.
It's hard for the lack of playoff success.
Right. Lack of playoff success. They made the World Series.
No, I'm talking about him personally. Him personally, yeah.
Well, you know, anyway, the big fish, the big names out there are Harper and Machado.
Yeah.
And there are experts, MLB experts, who think that there's a real chance the Phillies sign both of them.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't hate it. I mean, I know a lot of people are saying now that they don't like would be upset if the Phillies got Machado only because
yourself
of the whole...
included, by the way.
No, I didn't say I'd be upset.
You said you were kind of out on him.
I'm out on. I'd rather Harper, but if they got only, Harper and Machado, I'm fine with
if
it.
If you can only pick one, you're picking Harper.
Yeah.
If you can get two,
I'll take them both. Yeah, yeah, of course.
Yeah. I mean, who else is out there? I think Dallas Keuchel is available.
I want Dallas Keuchel.
Dallas Keuchel would be great.
He'd be a very, very good addition. And I know he the last couple of years he struggled a little bit with consistency.
Maybe get him a little cheaper.
The first hit, I don't know about that. He's still probably going to want 20 to 25 mil.
Yeah.
What
did Arrieta get? 25?
20, I think it 20? Was. Yeah.
20 over Santana three, got 25?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Keuchel will probably want 20, 25 mil. But the last half or the second half of last year, I mean, he was damn near dominant.
Yeah, he looked like the Dallas Keuchel that led Houston to the World Series.
Yeah, but it sounds like
what are the other big names?
I know Kimbrel's a free agent.
He'd be nice. Philly's bullpen needs help bad.
Yeah, I'm trying to think who else is out there.
Philly's Nelson bullpen needs Cruz. Help bad.
Who else is out there?
Juris Familia out there?
Not that I've heard of.
He's not.
He might be. Not that I've heard of.
Okay. Regardless,
but I mean, it's a big offseason. It's two guys headlining it is Harper and Machado.
Right. It's a big offseason.
Yeah, for sure.
And then I think Trout's up next year.
It's either next year or the year after.
I think it's next year. Imagine if you get Harper this year and then Trout next year. How good is your outfield at that point?
Pretty damn
How good are your three, pretty four, and five good. Spots in the lineup if you get Machado, Harper, and then
and
next
then
year
Miami's,
get Trout?
Miami's made it known that Real Muto is available.
Okay. Now,
that would be via trade, obviously.
Right. Now, has Wilson Ramos signed? Is he staying?
Not that I know of.
I would like them to re-sign him. If you re-sign him, you don't have to go get Real Muto.
Right.
And, you know, I don't know how much division trading happens in the MLB, but I don't necessarily want to trade, you know, a division rival, a prospect or two.
Right.
Right. For a guy like Real Muto, who's very good. But how much better than Wilson Ramos is he? Probably not much.
Yeah.
Wilson Ramos is very good. I think you re-sign Ramos. If you can get Harper and Machado, it's huge.
Yeah, it'd be gigantic.
Phillies?
No, I still think they have issues
right.
pitching.
Now, just because I know how Vegas works, if you sign Harper and Machado, you're World Series favorites.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying that they're going to win it. I'm not even saying that they're going to make it there. Vegas will call them... the World Series favorites.
Patrick Corbin's also a free agent.
Okay. Yeah, there's definitely names out there. If you miss out on Harper or Machado, if you get one but miss on the other, you can afford to sign two or three of these still very good but not quite top-tier guys.
Right. So is first baseman, the World Series MVP, Steve Pierce, who just won the MVP.
There's no way that happens.
36 years old. Yeah, probably not.
Not with you're already paying one old first
no,
baseman.
No, I know. I'm just looking at the free agent list here.
I want them to fire Carlos Santana's contract into the sun and put Rhys Hoskins there.
Josh Donaldson's available.
Okay. That's got some ring to it. Like
Freddy Galvis.
Sure. He's definitely up there with Machado.
Yeah.
Who would you rather have playing that position, Machado or Galvis?
Hunter Pence, who I didn't even know was still in the league.
Right. All right. We just wanted to touch on MLB free agency. There's a chance the Phillies get both. I would like them to either get both or just Harper.
Yeah, I agree.
If they just get Machado, it's a little sketchy.
Yeah, I still wouldn't hate it. I wouldn't be upset because he's still a hell of a player.
But this city will crucify him if he doesn't run out of ground ball.
Yeah, but I want
pop fly.
The two that I want is, who did I say? Oh, Harper and Keuchel. And if it's not Keuchel, I'd be fine with getting Charlie Morton back here.
Yeah.
Morton, since he left, I mean, he's been a good pitcher. He could kind of be your fourth or fifth starter, and if you need him to, he could, you know, eat some bullpen time. So
yeah,
I like Morton a lot.
Yeah, and on that note. You can let us know what you think, what the Phillies are going to do and how the Flyers are going to do this week and the whole, Flyers After Dark California road trip. You can let us know all those things on Twitter at YWT Podcast. You can find me at K Collington, Mike at Mike_Giletto. And you can also find the show on Facebook, Instagram, Podbean, iTunes, Google Podcast, Last Word on Sports, YouTube, and Spotify. I feel like I missed something, but I don't think I did.
I wasn't paying attention.
I know.
What else is new?
YouTube and Spotify. Okay, yeah, that's it. on that note, let's get out of here. And by the way, if you came to this show after listening to last week's and you stuck around this long, thank you very much. We appreciate any new listeners. Tell your friends, tell your family. Come join the You Would Think family.
Yeah, because I'm tired of people talking shit.
We'll see you next week.